had it. It was so much I had to write it down because I wasn't going to be able to remember everything I had to say. But I grew up in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Both my grandparents on both sides were Seventh-day Adventists. My mom and dad, they weren't always in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But I was fortunate to grow up in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I remember sitting on the front row listening to my grandfather preach every Sabbath. And was faithful, coming to church every day, but didn't fully understand. I didn't have a relationship with Christ. Because you can just go to church and you go through the motions and your heart not be where it needs to be. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. So you have to study for yourself to get a relationship with Christ. And the way you get to know him is by studying his word. Well, to make a long story short, I've had so many near-death experiences that God has saved me from. When I was young, my mom had me go to my grandparents' house to borrow some eggs. She was making some food for my dad, and the chain broke, and I bust my head open. I was unconscious. I was in the hospital, and then God saved me from that. We used to compete in, I don't know if you guys remember, Bible Bowl tournaments, where everybody had to learn a specific book in the Bible, and you had a team. You had, like, it's kind of like, I wouldn't say it's like The Price Is Right, or Family Feud, but each person was responsible for one book in the Bible, and you had to answer, and you had to compete against other churches. So I was on my way to Huntsville, Alabama, to compete in a Bible Bowl tournament, and right before I went, I had a 66 Ford Fairlane convertible. I know you guys, older guys, probably can appreciate that. And I lost, the brakes went out on my, this is the day before I had to go to Oakwood to compete in this Bible Bowl tournament. And my brakes went out and I flew off a cliff, a big cliff. And I was coming down this hill, and as I swerved, the car went over the cliff with the top down, with the whole car on my neck like that, could have broke my neck. And my cousin, he was with me. He was unconscious. I was awake through the whole thing, and I was just in shock. And the next day, I still went and participated in the Bible Bowl tournament. Praise God. We were Bible Bowl champions. We were undefeated. We were kids. We were beating everybody. But God has a purpose for my life. And then the reason why I'm telling you all this is to tell you this story. My occupation is I drive a concrete mixer truck for this company. And we work 6 days a week. And I'm not going to lie to you guys. God knows I didn't tell them the truth. I just went ahead and worked 6 days a week. And one of those days was on the seventh-day Sabbath. And I worked and I worked. And I did this for like 2 years I worked. And I was like, well, you know, maybe it don't hurt. And you know how sometimes you allow money to make decisions for you that you shouldn't make. And although I was making good money, I still felt bad because I remembered my upbringing. So I continued to work every Sabbath, Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath. And one day I said, this ain't right. But I kept struggling within myself to tell them because I didn't want to lose my job. And I've got family of five. I didn't want to lose my job. And so I was worried. I said, well, I'm going to just keep on going. Well, one morning came. It was one Sabbath morning. And I don't know if I say Sabbath. I don't remember what morning it was. But it was one morning I got up, and I wasn't feeling good. I said, I'm not feeling too good. And I kept going to the bathroom like every hour and hour. I wasn't feeling good. I said, I'm not feeling good. What's going on? And so I went to work, and I got in the hole. The hole is where they load your concrete truck. So I backed in the hole so they can load my truck for the day. They already loaded my truck. And right when I pulled out, the hydraulics broke and the drum just broke. And so I told my supervisor, I said, I'm going to go to the emergency room. Something's not right. He said, man, just go. So I went to the emergency room and I walked in. I spoke to the reception at the desk. I said, ma'am, can I see a doctor or a nurse or somebody? I said, it's very important. I said, because I do not feel good. Something's not right. And I feel like I'm about to die. And so I went in there. They started running tests to check for my symptoms to see what was going on. And to come to find out, my blood sugar was at 675. She said, how did you walk in here? She said, you should have been in a coma. Your body should have went into shock. She said, how are you standing up? And so I knew then, I said, man, I said, nothing but God. Only God can do that for me. And so after that, they went and put me in a room. They gave me insulin shots, and they got my sugar down. They put me on glipizide and metformin, which I heard metformin is really bad for you. I think any type of, you just got to be careful with these over-the-counter type things. So they prescribed me that, and I went home, and I was just so discouraged, y'all. I was so sad, and I didn't know what to do. I started praying, and I was like, I don't know what to do. And but I know that I couldn't go back to working on Saturdays once I recovered, because I knew that God had saved my life. I said, I can't go back to doing the same thing I was doing before. So I went and met with a nutritionist. Now, I was almost 300 pounds. Now I weigh like 180. So I done got down. I was big boy. And now I had to go and get all new wardrobe. I couldn't fit all my clothes. So I got to end up, I still got a lot of clothes I got to give away because I can't fit all of my clothes. But I had to go back because my DOT physical was a year later. You got it. When you got diabetes, you got to go every year. Don't you know I went back and they couldn't find a trace of diabetes in me? They said, we don't know. He said, we don't know what's going on with you, but you had it, but don't appear did you have it anymore. But before all this happened, after all this happened, I went back to work. It was time to go back. And I said, I started thinking about Daniel and the Hebrew boys and how they stood true to God and how they kept their faith. I said, I just got to tell him. So I went in there to my supervisor. I've known him for years. I said, man, I said, I'm sorry to tell you. I said, but I cannot break God's Sabbath no more. I cannot work on a Sabbath. And I said, I'm sorry to tell you this. He said, well, I don't know if I can do anything about that. He said, I'll have to talk to the general manager. Well, he spoke to the general manager. The general manager said, no, he's going to work on Saturdays. Like everybody else, he's going to do it. He said, if he does do it, he don't have a job no more. And I went from making this amount to making this amount. And I was I'm a trainer. I'm a driver's trainer. So, and I said, well, I will not defy God. I will not do it. Because I don't know if God's going to give me. God gives you so many chances before you're found in the balance and found wanting, just like Belshazzar was, knowing everything that happened in Nebuchadnezzar, and he still went and got those vestments and brought them in the temple. So I said, I'm not going to defy God. I kept my word. I went about praying, and I said, well, ask him this. Can I stay till I find another job? He said, yes. I said, but I will not work Saturdays. So he let me stay. I was keeping the Sabbath. It was a month yet later, y'all. He still ain't said nothing to me. But he was mad about it, you know. And so one of my friends is a pump operator. We go and we pour concrete in a pump truck, and they pump it out when we do a house slab or something. So he offered me a job Monday through Friday, Sabbath off. So I went and took that job, and I didn't like it because it was just so dangerous. You know, you had to watch for power lines. You could take somebody's arm off if you pull on the controller's kind of hard. And then the guy that I was working for, not my friend, but the other guy that owns the company, he was not a good person. And he just talked to you any kind of way. And I said, you know what? I said, I'll tell you what. I said, man, I said, I quit. I'm not going to let you talk to me any kind of way. I quit. And I quit. And y'all, this is the true story. God knows this is true. I went home and I told my wife, I said, I quit my job. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do because my kids can eat, y'all. They can really eat, so you might not want to invite us over for Sabbath dinner. So we all went, and we was eating and everything. And I mean, not eating, I'm sorry. My mind is on that anyway. Where was I at? Okay, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. Yeah, I went and told him I quit. So I stayed up all night praying, and this is the truth. I couldn't sleep. I was restless. I said, Father, please help me. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I said, if it was just me, I can do it. I can survive. But I got my family to think about. So I started praying and praying and praying and praying, and I prayed the whole night. My phone rang 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock that morning. It was my old boss from the concrete, and he said, man, you had to have been praying all night. He said, because I want to hire you back Monday through Friday. So I'm back. I'm still at the same job to this day. But I work Monday through Friday. But that's not it. I went back to work. And because, you know, you have employees and you got people that you got to deal with that are jealous. And when they see that you have weekends off, they want that too. And this man right here knows because I've worked with him. So they were like, why has Corey got Saturdays off? I want weekend off too. They just saw it at that. They didn't understand. So it gave me an opportunity to witness. So I went there, I started witnessing, I started passing out tracts at work. A lot of them still didn't get it. But needless to say, one of our guys went and he murmured against me so bad. It wasn't against me, it was against the Sabbath. Don't y'all know he died? Same age as me, 46 years old. He murmured and he died. He talked against the Sabbath, and about maybe a few weeks later, he died. Now, whether it was COVID or whatever it was, he died. Then I had another guy. I'm talking to this guy every day. He's my friend, y'all. I'm responsible for getting him a job and everything. He's my buddy, so I thought. You know, it's a shame when a dog can be more loyal to you than a human being. So I'm thinking, man, this is my boy. I got him a job, and I got his pay good, and I talked to him and told him what kind of guy he was. Got him a job. He was up there backstabbing me to the bosses and was telling everybody that I kissed up to get ahead, because there's people there that's been there 5 or 6 years that's not making as much money as me. That's God's favor. That don't have nothing to do with me. I cannot take the credit for what God does. All I need to do is to be faithful to God, and he will do the rest. So I sat there. I was like, oh, I said, well, you know, I said, he's, I said, Lord, I said, I'm angry. And I was angry enough to go confront him because he ain't about this big. You know, I said, well, I said, you know, I didn't want the old me, James and John, the sons of thunder. I didn't want to have to get after him. So I said, you know what? I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to pray. I said, Lord, you said vengeance is yours, Lord. Please help me. I said, I'm up here and I'm working with this guy and I don't want to confront him in any way. And that Monday, when I found out what he did, that Friday, he got terminated. He ran in the back of a woman and got terminated. And I could have went right there and told him, hey, you know, give him another chance. I didn't feel the need to do that because I felt like God was removing him from away, because he was sitting there sabotaging everything I'd done. And I was wondering why I went to work and these supervisors started looking at me differently. And I said, well, what's going on? Why is everybody showing these hard feelings toward me? And come to find out, he had been talking and talking, and that's not it. I got one more. So the guy that's my foreman, he's the plant manager. And I know he has a problem. You know, we deal with people, y'all. So we got to always remember God in prayer. So I went to him, and I got in an accident. I almost flipped the truck. I'm going to tell you, it was only an angel that held that truck up. I was on this ground backing up to the pump truck, and the ground gave way, and the whole cement truck leaned this way. And so I wanted the plant manager, as a courtesy, know what was going on. So I took a picture. You guys, I'll have to show you the picture. I got it on my phone. I sent him the picture of the truck, and so he couldn't wait to run down there and tell all the drivers, because I'm supposed to be one of their trainers, one of their best drivers. He couldn't wait to tell them I messed up. Well, guess what happened to him? He fell down the steps, and he's limping to this day. And so don't tell me, you know, my God can't take care of us. God said, I got 1,000 ways to take care of you know nothing about. So anytime you're going about your life and you got these haters that's hating on you and talking bad about you, all you got to do is take it to the Lord in prayer, and God will come to your rescue. It says Ellen White says he will send angels that excel in strength to your rescue. And so that's why I'm so thankful to God for everything he's done for me. And that's why I wanted to open up my eyes. I started praying and studying. And it's about going to heaven, y'all. You know, we're here to preach the gospel. We're here to lead people to Christ. You know, we don't know what people's going through. We don't know what walk of life they have. Every time I see these people, you know, we all seen them. And Brother Johnny, I appreciate what you're doing. That is a wonderful thing, giving out blankets and socks and everything like that. Because these people, it's not us to us to judge. God said, freely receive, freely give. You know, if somebody's going through something, and I'll tell y'all this, if y'all need something and I have it, y'all got it. Because I'm not going to get set up here and have all this over here and not share it with my brother. Because and when it all matters, I love reading the story about Nicodemus. Did y'all ever read that story in the Desire of Ages? How Nicodemus helped the disciples' cause, and he died a broke man. He was a rich man. When I was listening to C.D. Brooks' sermon, it said that he was so rich that he could have took care of pretty much the whole everybody for like the next 10 years. So he was wealthy. But where a man's wealth is, there his heart is also. So we just need to remember that, you know, we need to trust in God. And even though I'm leaving here to go to Nicaragua, it's what God told me to do. I don't have no fear, because if Elijah, if God can send birds to feed Elijah, he can do it for us. Elijah is, as a scripture my wife was, I was trying to get her to come forward and share that scripture with me because I'm blind and can't see, but it's in James chapter 5. It's the last verse, how it talks about Elijah. Honey, will you come and read it for me? She'll come read it for you. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but it's a wonderful scripture, and it let me know that we are no different from them, y'all. God is with us like he was with the disciples, like he was with the prophets. All we have to do is go to God in prayer. Prayer changes things. The effectual prayers of a righteous man availeth much. So if we pray and we trust in God, there is nothing God won't do for us. I'm a living witness of what God can do. And I didn't even mention to y'all when I was a little boy that lightning struck the air conditioner and our house caught on fire. I was like maybe 5 or 6 years old. But God has sent his angels to intervene on the devil. When the devil's trying to destroy me, and I know this week because I got baptized, the devil's going to attack me even more. So I am ready for it. I am ready for it because I don't eat our TV at our house. My little kids, you guys ought to hear them pray, and some of you have. We don't have that mess on TV because what you watch on TV will mess up your mind. The Bible says, be not conformed to the things of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we got to allow God to transform our lives. I'm sorry, I know I went over my time, but that's all I have to say. Happy Sabbath.